Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, buddy. It's Wednesday, January 3rd, 2023. Happy 4. Let's do another take. Hey, buddy. It's Wednesday. I'm kidding. But Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, dude. It is weird to hear 2024.
Oh, that's why I didn't say it. It's just for a person who does a couple of podcasts a week where I'm saying, you know, what the date is all the time. This happens to me every year, though, to transfer to the new number. Remember when we used to always have to write checks all the time and that was always an issue? Now people, you make a joke about it, you know, what you write on your checks, you know, it's and people are just like, what? What's writing a check? And also, how long into January do you get away with saying Happy New Year?
I think
people just in a generic greeting, because I like it as a hello and a goodbye with people working grocery stores or rideshare drivers. I mean, it's just a fun thing to throw around, you know. But how deep into January can you do it?
I think really just the first week to 10 days, you think?
Maybe Jan 10 is the cutoff?
Yeah, it feels like mid-January. It feels a little like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, because no, I kind of want
to. People are already deeply stressed out.
I want to see how quickly it sets in that somebody says, hey, it's been a week, dude, or whatever.
So you're just going to tell that to everybody.
I'm going to say it. I'll let you know. I'll report back when it starts to become an issue.
Yeah.
When people start going, hey, man, it's February. I go, yeah, have a new year, bro. Happy New Year. Like, I could say it all goddamn year, you piece of shit. It's just an excuse to confront people. It's like the comic that's trying to get a good crowd clip. So they like, you know, they start it with somebody in the audience. But our guest today was a guest. Speaking of unruly audience members, by the way, he and I did shows together at the Punchline in Sacramento on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah. That'll
happen. Did you do any shows anywhere on New Year's Eve?
I did it last year. I do it a lot. I would say every other year or so, but not this year. But last year, definitely unruly crowd.
Sitting it out is maybe not a bad idea, but we'll talk to him a little bit about it. He's a very funny dude named Johnny Taylor Jr., who I have struggled to come up with an anagram for, so I'm not even going to bring up to him that we make that for the guests, because I don't want him to feel left out that he has such a difficult name. You know, so many J's and R's and L's, like it's a Y, like it's not helpful. No U's or I's in the whole name. It's a tricky one to anagram. And is this our first junior on the show, you think?
I think so, but I've been wrong before.
Right. Well, Sammy Davis has never done it. I don't know too many famous juniors.
The movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah. And we had Trey Gallion is a third.
Oh, yeah.
And Ramon Rivas is a second. Has he been on Wide World of Dougs?
I think so.
I think he
has.
I feel like he has.
We haven't had Damon Wayans or Robert Downey.
I love Damon Wayans Jr. on that show, Happy Endings. And he just hosted a game show that's I'm sad that it went away quickly because it's kind of a fun premise where it's called Raid the Cage, and people have to go into this cage full of prizes, and there's a clock, and they have to get as many prizes out as they can before the door closes.
Ooh, I like
it's
that.
Just like watching Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's just like watching him try to grab his hat. over and over again. Anyway, let's go to work. Hello, Johnny Taylor Jr. How are you?
Oh, Doug Benson. I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Meet my co-host, Doug Mellard. You two have sort of met in the past through circumstances, but not physically face-to-face.
That is true.
And yeah. Still not physically face-to-face.
Yeah. Keeping it going.
This is closer.
Johnny's in Sacramento, Doug is in Santa Fe, and Doug is in Los Angeles. You work out those last two amongst yourselves. Johnny, it was good to, it was fun ringing in the new year with you in Sacramento.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah, it was really fun. And that was your first time on Doug Loves Movies. And Doug Mellard could certainly commiserate with you and your experience on the show, because he definitely knows less than you do.
Good. I'm glad somebody does.
Except for last time.
But Doug is an ongoing, well, that's why I could be so mean about it, is because Doug just won the last time he was on, so now he is an ongoing champion.
Oh, and congratulations.
We'll be back.
It's rare.
We'll be back very soon. And I should say on this, I don't mean for Wide World of Doug's to be some sort of Doug Loves Movies bonus material, but let's face it, in a sense it is. the episode ended, we put in a little disclaimer at the end, I recorded something afterwards, because Chad Opitz was declared he came in second to a lady that we pulled up out of the audience named Jody Reeves. And she was really nice and fun and a good contestant. But she, in the last game, insisted that Michelle Pfeiffer is in the original, the first Ant-Man movie.
Yes. And much controversy.
And an entire audience of people and all of us on stage all just went along with it. Like, well, what are we supposed to do? That this woman just came up out of the audience and did this well at this game. She might as well be the winner. But then, of course, I got verification later that, it was kind of a stalemate at that point. It was kind of a tie between her and Chad. But, if she'd really come up with one more Michelle Pfeiffer movie, she would have officially been the winner instead of this ugly, false champion that she is today. So we have to, I'm going to try in the near future to maybe bring her and Chad back together, or just bring her back anyway, like a full-fledged champion. But we also did two stand-up shows at the Sacramento Punchline, and they fell right in line with what you'd expect from New Year's Eve at a comedy club doing two shows. The first show was nice and mellow with a bunch of couples who just wanted to have an early evening or had more exciting plans later, and then the late show was people got thrown out.
Yeah, sure did.
In there,
because they show up, right? Show up drunk, It's like a game. The way that clubs will be like, these people seem trashed already. Get their money and get ready to throw them out.
Yeah,
because they gave them, they gave them a bunch of chances, but this table in the back would not stop talking. And for any listeners not familiar with Johnny Taylor Jr.'s comedy, he doesn't get out there and scream and yell. It's a pretty chill style, I'd say.
Yeah,
and
it's low key.
Yeah, I mean, you and Brian Posehn, you open for him all the time. That show together, that is the most, like, it almost should be done by candlelight or something.
Yeah, it's a visual, actually.
But anyway. So, Doug, it was crazy. This whole party of eight people not only got thrown out, but they were crazy loud about it. And then when they got him out into the hallway, they were crazy loud in the hallway. It was so exciting. It was a kind of like people yelling where they phones came out and people were filming what was happening. And because they just were just wanted to stay in the hallway and yell about it instead of just leaving, you know, and maybe contacting their lawyer on Monday or something. So they're just drunk and out there yelling. And it was the same thing. They just kept saying, "We were laughing." Like, people think that chatting amongst yourselves and laughing are the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when they're drunk.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I asked them. I asked them, I was like, well, what's happening, you know, from stage?
Yeah.
And they're like, they're throwing us out. And I was like, why? And they're like, we were laughing at you. And I'm like, wow. Well, I mean, I'm having a pretty good set and there's still like 200 people still seated. So it can't just be because of that, but I appreciate the weird compliment.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, is they were just like, they're in their own world. And like, you know, like at one point in your set, you told a really long story and I could tell, oh, these people have not, they're not here to track this story and where it's going, you know? And so, but it's always fun too, when, you know, I was the headliner and, or, you know, I went last, I should say. You know, when people are thrown out before the headliner's even gone on, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Cause if I'm opening for someone and it's really rowdy, like towards the end of my set, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a whole thing for whoever's next. Like,
yeah.
Cause if they're ramping up already, like it's just going to get worse. Like it never. And I did a New Year's show last year, and awful crowd for the late show. Just the same thing. Great show, first show, second show, awful. Everybody's drunk, talking, all that. But then, you know, me and another comic had to like go out on stage to like ring in the new year with this crowd we didn't like, you know? And so it's just like, Happy New Year. All right, are we done? Can we go? Like, we didn't want to be up there at all. So awkward.
But that's the part that I really love most about it, is these people were extracted. It was so noisy and chaotic. And as far as most of the audience is concerned, they only caught the part where Johnny was talking to them. And the rest of the time, Johnny was just doing his material, you know, doing his set and ignoring them. And the rest of the audience was in and not massively distracted. So the whole thing was, it was impressive work by you and the team at the Punchline.
Yeah, I thought they handled it pretty well. Because, I mean, that second crowd, as they were coming in, I was like, oh, these people are fucking wasted. Like, this is going to be a whole thing.
And yeah, I like when a comedy club has a bar, you can stop at it for a drink before getting to the into the club where they have you buy two more drinks.
Right.
You know, they have that club, they have those like tumbler drinks, you know, they're really the you get the souvenir cup. I think they left with their souvenir cups too. That's just hilarious. getting thrown out when you take your cup.
Yeah, it should have been a two drink maximum for that late.
Yeah,
show.
Absolutely. But they did a good job. At first I was frustrated because it was a big group of people that were like sitting like, you know, there was like, they were at a table and then some people in the group were behind the other people. So like, there was just really this, like, they were almost designed to be sitting in a way that they would just start talking amongst themselves. And then they just were doing it from the second the show started to the second they got thrown out. And they must have asked them 10 times to stop doing it.
Yeah.
It's wild watching those things, because like I never whip out my camera because I don't want to make, you know, I don't want them yelling at, you know, not only a person for having their my camera on them, but also the person whose show they're at, you know, or whatever. I didn't want to get in the mix at all, but it sure was, what I saw of it is sure interesting to watch.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, exactly. Happy New Year. Like that, you know, because their story the next day, most of them is like, we were laughing, we were having fun, and they kicked us out. And, you know, and tell all their friends, don't go to that club. But every once in a while, there's people who are like, oh shit, we were drunk, you know, we screwed up. But it usually goes the other way. Usually people just remain mad about it. And like, anybody brings up that club or any of us comics, if they can even remember any of our names, are, I just think they really just threw a dart at the wall and went, oh, comedy club, that's what we're going to do. I don't feel like any of them were drawn to any of the particular acts on the bill that night.
Definitely not me.
that wasn't your crowd. So
they were like, let's go watch the guy that we for sure know lost Doug Loves Movies. We don't know who won it, but we do know he lost it.
Yeah, they just were out supporting losers.
Losers.
How long have you been, doing shows with Brian Posehn?
Oh, about 10 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's got a few openers, feature acts that he'll use. He used me and Derek Sheen and Brad Wenzel. And for a long time, Jeremy Essek, who's really funny, but I think he's stopped doing stand-up. But I think probably about these days, probably about 15 weekends a year with him, which is always fun. I mean, he's one of my best friends. So it's just like going out, doing shows. But really, you're just like, it's all about the hang and eating some food in a different city, getting high.
Exactly. Like he likes, he likes what he likes. And a lot of us have that sort of approach to opening acts or feature acts is, having a few that, you like supporting, but mixing it up is always nice. And, I think 15 weekends a year with Brian Posehn sounds like about as much as I would be able to take.
it's really just a lot of Brian sleeping in the green room. And then we go out and eat food after.
Yeah, like when he falls asleep, like within a few minutes, you can put like a ping pong ball over his mouth and he'll make it float with his snoring. Classic old school snoring gag. All right. Well, we're here to talk about you, not Brian Posehn. And he and I have been great friends for a long time. And he showed up recently for the Doug Loves Movies. We did an anniversary episode in L.A. and he showed up for that and we had a great time. But as close as we are, I just feel like he'd be annoyed if I asked him to do this podcast, but that he'd also enjoy it, once he's doing it. But it's that, he's like that kind of like grumbly, you don't want to poke the bear.
right. Yeah.
This is hibernation season. cute though, also to see the lighter, more fun side that having a son is brought out of him. Like he's really into his fucking kid.
Yeah, his kid's the best too. Like he's like, Brian's a fucking behemoth, and his kid is like already 6 feet tall.
I don't know how Melanie survived the birth.
Yeah, she's a saint.
Yeah, she really took one for the team. Okay, so we're going to talk about you. Before we get into talking about your name, because the show's mostly about names after a bunch of blathering about other things, the warm-up questions start now with this one. What's your tattoo situation, Johnny? I don't think I noticed because you might have had, mostly been covered up the other night, but do you have a lot of tattoos?
I have a sleeve, and if I could go back, I probably just wouldn't have gotten me, but I do have my entire left arm is covered. It's a koi piece because at the time I was a douchebag. And then I do have a really pretty lotus flower on the inside of my bicep, and a big dragon on my arm. It's all the worst, tropey MMA guy tattoos. So I just usually try to wear a jacket at all times.
Yeah, that's not a bad call. You had a nice jacket on the other night. Looked very comfortable.
It was cozy.
Yeah, that was another thing that was kind of throwing me off is people kept talking. I just threw on this old tuxedo jacket that I have. I put it on over a hoodie and the old hoodie jacket combo. And people kept saying, oh, you're so dressed up or you look nice or whatever, because I'm such a slob most of the time. But it still wasn't that much of a glow up or anything, but it is funny to me that New Year's Eve used to be like the comedy club would get mad at you if you didn't dress up. And the other night we did a show where we all really were just comfortable just wearing what we like to wear, that what expresses our sort of, you know, what we want to present on stage.
Totally.
I'm so glad all that stuff is in the past. Not just that,
right, but that's so funny because you're a suit guy sometimes. You'll throw a suit on and go up on stage.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I never.
I swear to God, I've seen you. I've seen you occasionally. I mean, you know, like a crumpled
suit. Oh, you know
what?
I did do it last New Year. I was like, fuck it. I just wore like a tux for no reason. But I did that to myself. But there have been times.
I can just picture you like in a rumpled suit, like Columbo.
Oh, yeah, I might have, like, if I do that, it's for a gag or something. But yeah, it makes me uncomfortable. I want to feel comfortable up on stage. But I remember, like, when I was first starting out, I would get a lot of advice about, like, you have to wear, like, button up or a tie or this or that. And I remember we did a showcase once where for Letterman or something, where all the guys had to wear suits and ties, and only one person ever did that. So everybody had a weird set because no one was comfortable, and it's already a little tense anyway because you're trying out for this thing you really want. But then on top of that, I remember calling a comic and I was like, hey, a bunch of us are meeting up for a bite beforehand. I was like, what are you up to? And he was like, I'm learning how to tie a fucking tie. And so just so glad we're past that. I like to be cozy up there.
Yeah, Letterman was a real stickler for coat and tie. Like, there's a couple of, probably watch it on YouTube. Like, I think maybe Dave Attell and maybe Louis C.K. did sets on that show where they like showed up without a coat, so they just gave them one that didn't fit them very well. You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah,
I don't get why Letterman thought that dressing up was so important, but like, I guess we all have our things that, like, if we were really in charge of something, maybe we would, you know, put our foot down. The trouble with doing like comedy on TV these days is that, you know, the no logos thing if you do a set on some show. So you know, having any kind of nice clothing is kind of hard to pull off without having logos somewhere.
Yeah, I wore a suit for my special recording, and every time I see a clip for that special, I'm like, what a dumb dildo. I look like that one out of every 2,000 days, and like, that's the day I decide to just not look like myself. Regret, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that could drive you to do another one. It's just to, like, that's one thing you could, you know, do differently. What was your what's your special called?
It's called Bumming with the Devil. You can see it. It's on Tube. And all, it's on like Amazon, Apple TV, all that shit, but you can get it for free on Tubi, so that's where you can see it.
Well, I think like being dressed up with that title kind of has a, you know, that sort of makes sense.
Yeah, I thought in my head I did, but you know, I probably would have worn like just a black t-shirt and some jeans. That's usually what I would wear, so, but the material's good, so at least it's not, I'd rather look dumb and still be good than like look great and suck. So
yeah, that's a, you're drawing the lines in all the right places. And so a sleeve, and that, so you don't really, you can't really say a number of how many tattoos or how many times did you have to go under the knife to have a sleeve?
It was like, it was a few sessions. It was probably like 12 hours worth of work. I would say like there's like five major pieces. So I would say probably I have like five tattoos.
Oh,
but
okay.
They all link together.
Yeah. It's like having five jokes, but you also have segues.
Right. Exactly. My sleeve is a big, long joke.
Everything that's, you know, that's also interesting to me is that, like, you know, some comedians do have wacky tattoos, but a lot of them just have, you know, beautiful like art ink on their bodies that kind of sort of goes against the, you know, the whole comedy thing.
Right. Yeah. It's We were talking off air. We were talking about Avery Moore, who has a million amazing, like, hilarious tattoos, and it like works perfectly for like her personality. Mine does not link up to my personality. I don't know. I was having like an out of body experience. I think I have no idea why I chose this.
Okay, so what about pets? Have you been in a position at any point in your life to give animals their forever name?
Yes, I have. I used to have a cat named Sydney, which is my middle name because I'm a narcissist. I was like, yeah, let's name it my middle name.
Did you spell it the same way in both cases?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. Sidney.
Yeah.
But I've been big on, I kind of inherit pets from whatever gal I'm either marrying and then later divorcing or dating. So I've inherited a bunch of pet names, but yeah, I've only really named. Oh, actually, we got a cat with my first wife, and we named it Nash after the professional wrestler Kevin Nash.
Yes.
Okay.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
Not to change subjects or anything, but I thought about this earlier when thinking about you and Brian Posehn. Is do you drag him into the wrestling world at all, or is he more on the outskirts of that particular fandom?
He loves wrestling. He's not. I mean, I have a wrestling podcast, so I'm in it. You know,
yeah,
I'm a nerd about it. But he likes it, and he keeps up. And I know his kid loves wrestling too.
Oh, that's
and
good.
He's got
that's
his, good. He's got his favorites and stuff, but you know, and we talk wrestling when we hang out, but it's never like, I mean, I'm like watching hours and hours of content a week because I have to talk about it for, you know, an hour yeah. twice a week. So
yeah,
he likes it, but it's like, I like Star Wars, but I don't like it nearly as much as he does. Like I couldn't talk about, you know, a little bit of Star Wars goes a long way, and I think it's probably the same with him as far as like wrestling goes.
Yeah, well, and the other area is that, like, I appreciated his fondness for them, but I, you know, as friends, I often couldn't really participate in anything. Would be, you know, comic books and D&D, and then of course heavy metal music.
Yeah, you're not a big metal guy.
Well, no, I mean, I liked it through his eyes. I liked it through him, you know, like I, you know, enjoyed how much he enjoyed it. Like, that's how I've always been with wrestling. If I have a friend that's super into wrestling, then I get into it sort of through them, but I'm not going to just sit by myself and watch wrestling and be super psyched about it.
Right.
You know, and that's sort of, yeah. You know, I can listen to metal in my spare time, but if, you know, if Brian's like, hey, do you want to go, you know, backstage to a show or some shit like that, you know, like, I'm always down because it's, you know, it's still music. I just love music.
Me too.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. And wrestling is like, it's an experience. So even if you're kind of on the fringes of it, you're probably going to have fun watching it because it's so bizarre.
Yeah. But, yeah. Absolutely.
I understand. It takes a certain sort of brain to like, get it, because it's a soap opera, you know. It's just like you can't just watch it casually and know what the fuck's going on, because shit, it's like, you know, Days of Our Lives with like grown men in underwear, you know. So
it's really it is a lot, and it's you know, I get why people get into it, and like you know, that seems to be like a pretty common reaction to this new movie, The Iron Claw, that Johnny cited on Douglas Movies as his film of the year. It's just got, it's just got all that stuff that is amazing about wrestling, but it's still also got that like sort of you know, at one point one character says, well, but isn't it fake? And it's just like, well, you just don't get it if you're sitting around talking about whether it's fake or not.
Right. Right.
You know, because it's like they do plan stuff out, but that's like asking if improvisation is fake.
Right.
Completely. Like there's moves, there's jokes you may have already had in your head, but you still have to say them with another person and, you know, create something like on the spot, you know? And so,
yeah, it's like Jason isn't actually killing people on Friday the 13th, you know, like, that is also fake, you know, but somehow you,
right. But it's fake, that. But there a stuntman steps in and can't get credit. Whereas in wrestling, those, the things, the way they fling themselves off of shit, the amount of time, the last time I went and saw wrestling live, the amount of time people were hitting the concrete, not some like, yeah, you know, bouncy mat in the middle of a ring. They're just fucking hitting the ground. They just have to hit the ground. They don't, there's no options for doing it safely, you know? Yeah. And so they're really putting themselves out there that way. And so Iron Claw is just devastating because it, I think it really makes you think about, you know, how dangerous it is for these people to be doing that all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like circus people.
Totally. there's a reason drugs are so prevalent in pro wrestling. It's like they hurt, you know?
Yeah.
They hurt. They're on the road. They're bummed out. They're lonely. And you end up with, you know, four dead brothers at the end of it.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, it's really, it's a wild story. And I definitely recommend it, especially if you feel like you don't get wrestling, because I think it, you know, illuminates. Okay, so we got a cat named Sydney. And what about, so especially since you tease your former self for potentially being douchey, are you a person that ever named your like cars or bikes or homes, or, you know, do you give any inanimate stuff a name?
Yeah, I mean, most of my cars I just called that piece of shit. never really had many. You know, I used to have, actually bought a 66 Mustang when I was in my 20s, and I called that one Black Magic. Which I liked, but I didn't give it any like traditional name. It's not like I've, you know, I'm like, I'm going to name this Robert, you know? So yeah, I think that might've been the only car I've ever named. You know, I used to have a printer in my office. I used to work, I was a retirement specialist for a while, in my 20s, and I named the office printer, Jude, just because I had to think of a name to call it on my PC. And so I was like listening to Hey Jude at the time. So I was like, let's call it Jude. But yeah.
They say Jude a lot in that song.
So many times. It would have been weird if I was like, I'm going to call it Hey. But
it was, that's like a song that starts at the chorus and then it just never ends.
Yeah. It never stops.
It never stops. And I love the Beatles and that song, but oh my God.
Yeah.
Judy. Yeah. I love when he starts Judying it at the end.
At the end, they're like, we're supposed to get 70 of these in, so like just say it 25 times real quick.
Okay, so we gotta actually take a break. I've overstayed your welcome. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back. We're here with Johnny Taylor Jr. And it is time. You answered all of the warm-up cues perfectly. So it is time to move on to the main event. I was talking about your name one part of it at a time. You don't have to cry or anything. Just, you know, just tell us whatever you're thinking about it. Starting with Johnny, growing up Johnny. Is that what it says on your birth certificate, Johnny?
No, it says John.
Just J-O-H-N?
J-O-H-N. And but, you know, that was always my nickname, Little Johnny, because my dad was named John.
Right.
We'll get to that part. We'll get to that part later, I bet.
I've heard about, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, and it is weird being a, you know, man in his 40s being called Johnny. It's because it's very much like an 8-year-old boy's name. But
I feel like Johnny Carson helped that a little bit, right?
Thank God. Yeah. Thank God for that.
Yeah, he's a pretty classy Johnny. Johnny Bench from baseball.
True.
Johnny Fever from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah, they are out there. But yeah, everybody's always just called me Johnny. I have had jobs though, like professional jobs, where I went by John. So yeah, yeah. Because it was always weird, like you're talking to some like high level exec and you're like, hi, this is Johnny, and they're just like, who the fuck am I talking to? You know, I was like, you're talking to a little league shortstop. try to keep it a little more, you know, it just sounded more adult, I guess. But I like the name John. I think John, it's like, it's a good performer name, you know. I mean, John's such a basic ass plain name. I don't hate it, you know, it's a classic name, but at least Johnny has a little bit of like a little bit of fun, you know.
Yeah,
my like name's
Johnny Cage from Mortal Kombat.
What, Johnny?
My act is very dry. So when people come up and see, they think it's going to be high energy and fun. Johnny right. Taylor, that guy sounds like he's going to do cartwheels on stage. but it's not. It's dry and very, it can be dark. And yeah, it's, I don't know if it fits my act as much, but I do like the name.
Yeah, I think it's a good, I think it's a good twist. And do you feel like people that do know you as Johnny, because you mostly go by that, do they shorten it to John as their version of a nickname? Because you can't add another Y to Johnny. You know what I mean?
No, no. Pretty much everybody calls me Johnny. Some people will call me JT. I've had friends shorten it to that. And actually, growing up, my mom called me JJ a lot for Johnny Jr. So, yeah, but just, yeah, she's pretty much Johnny.
It's hard not to be friendly saying the name Johnny. You know what I mean? Hey, Johnny. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Johnny. Like, it still sounds like you know.
Can't be mad at it's you. Less... It's also less babyish than Dougie.
Oh,
like Johnny, like you're saying, it sounds like a little kid name, but Dougie sounds like a toddler. Like it's yeah, so yeah. Childish.
Dougie is complete infantilization of a Doug.
Yeah, I think Dougie Fresh is the only person that's ever made Dougie work.
Right. Yeah, and I think he, you know, and it's only because of the, you know, it's just tricky. It's sneaky that it's a middle initial and not an IE.
Right. Doug.
okay. So, John, though, super common. So that's another reason probably why going by Johnny is just more more fun. It's more individualistic.
Yeah. And I think John is kind of at this point, I don't know if there's people named John anymore as much. Like, that doesn't seem like a very common name. Like, I never meet 20-year-olds named John, you know?
No, I think that this generation coming up now, they really go for the full-blown Jonathan.
Yeah, Jonathan is more of a thing.
Yeah, and you don't know if it's got an H or not, and you don't know if it's an A or an O. Like, they really have some options.
Yeah.
Those long-ass Jonathans. Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, I don't know what that I don't know what profession a person named Jonathan Taylor would have, but I kind of put them in the clothing industry, which probably isn't fair. That's the other thing. Is Taylor seems less like the word Taylor, like the clothing version of a tailor, when followed by Johnny.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Like, if your name was Johnny Doctor, nobody would be like, is that guy a doctor?
Right.
No, it's just his last name. What's wrong with you? I don't know if that theory holds up, but
I doubt so.
Let's move on to, oh, and I would want to throw out there as a current nickname, it might be kind of fun if anybody called you Tay Tay.
Tay Tay. I like that one. I don't think anybody has, but
because that's probably the top nickname on the planet right now due to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's got to catch. Yeah. Maybe I'll just start going by Tay Tay. they would be so surprised when I
that would stay. Really change expectations of what might happen if people went to see Tay Tay. Yeah. They'd think for a second. It was fun the other night too. They did a drag show at the Callback Bar next door to our show, and so it's just fun watching all the drag queens run around in and out of costume and just all the frivolity going on over there. I bet you no one got thrown out of their show.
Right.
And it laughing.
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny too, because we were kind of sharing a extended green room.
Yeah.
So it was fun to just kind of like, oh, hey, what's up? How's the show going? You know? And it sounded like their show went really well. And it seemed so fun. I peeked in and I was like, man, this looks like a blast.
Yeah, they're having a good time. I mean, we had a good time in both rooms, but there's just a lot more joy to, you know, a man putting on a wig and dancing around the room.
Can't top it.
Mm-mm. No, drag is going to take over. It's going to take our jobs, fellas. I really enjoy seeing that there's like these just random drag shows in like the second room at a lot of comedy clubs and also in the main room a lot of nights. There's more of that going on. You know, I'm tired of drag just being, you know, for, you know, reading to children. You know, I think it should be for adults too, and they should keep doing it in clubs. But, you know, I'm not going to go watch it in the library, a drag show, but I'll go to a club.
Yeah, not enough drinks in the library. gotta have a bar.
True.
Okay, so we're doing good. We're moving through your name, and we discovered earlier there was a bit of a spoiler that your middle name is Sydney, spelled Sidney. And, you know, middle names tend to be pretty inconsequential, but how do you feel about the middle name Sydney?
I used to hate it. Growing up, you know, people would learn my middle name, and to make fun of me, they would call me Cindy. Like, hi, Cindy. And it would make me really make me mad.
Because it's funny, because Sydney, saying it right, is also a woman's name.
Yeah, I mean,
they didn't have to change it at all.
Right, thanks to like Sydney Poitier, you know. And right. I would say that. I remember being a little kid.
That was a very classy Sydney.
Sydney Poitier, he's awesome, you know. Like, just mad trying to have Sydney Poitier validate my middle name. But I've grown to like it. I don't meet a lot of people with the middle name Sydney or the men with the first name Sydney. So now I'm kind of more, I think it's cool now, you know. But when I was a kid, it did kind of bother me.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, anything that the other kids could take and poke at you with is
I mean, I have a
it's
lazy
really
eye. So
weird.
it's like, you know, you don't want to be the lazy eye kid called Cindy. So
Oh my God, here comes
I'm fighting
Lazy
shit
Eye
off, you know?
Sydney. You'd have to become you'd have to go the other way in badassness and be like, because that would be cool on a wanted poster, Lazy Eye Sydney.
Lazy eye
You
Sydney.
know, that's a great, like, you know, Deadwood
Yeah.
character name.
Seriously. That's the Red Dead
I
Redemption 3.
love it. I love it. okay, so all right, Sydney. Oh, so yeah, so last name Taylor. How's that worked out for you?
Always loved it. I've always loved my last name. I think it's like a strong last name, I think. I always thought John Taylor, I mean, as basic as it is, it's a solid name, you know. It's like it's not it's very it is very it used to be very common. I remember at one point, I think John Taylor was like the third or fourth most common first and last name in America.
Oh,
You know, next to like I think, you know, John Smith and like things like
Joe
that.
Smith.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Joseph Smith, you know, Joseph Smith of the Latter-day Saints. But it's yeah, I've always liked Taylor as a last name. I've always liked my name. I never really, as long as we didn't talk about my middle name, I was always cool with that.
John Taylor's also, isn't that one of the guys in Duran Duran?
Yeah, bass player for Duran Duran.
Yeah.
And 49ers receiver back in the
Yeah, the Jerry Rice's sidekick on the
Yeah.
classic 80s Niners teams. Yeah, there's and then Johnny Taylor, as you know, probably a soul singer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this it was funny. I actually was headlining a show at the Callback Bar, and after the show, this old guy comes up and he's like, "You were very funny," and I'm like, "Oh, thanks," and he says, "My wife got me these tickets because she thought it was the soul singer Johnny Taylor," and I it was a bummer. I had to break to him like not only am I not him, but he died 22 years ago, so
Oh my God.
I had to break that news to him.
What a hip
Or,
couple.
yeah, or like they thought they were going to a really special show.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to see the Johnny Taylor hologram.
Yeah, if only. Yeah. Can you
So,
imagine, like, you want to go see some classic soul singing, and it's just like a guy with a lazy eye talking about his dead parents?
I Doug, I gotta tell you, that is what a highlight of his set. The dead parents stuff is really it's full of knee slappers.
Mean, you're obviously very funny because that guy came to see Johnny Taylor, the soul singer, and stayed for the whole show. So, I
He
mean,
stayed through the whole thing. I was
that's great.
honored.
There was
Yeah,
a
and
sh
clearly,
mental shift,
and
and
he was like, no, staying with
yeah.
it.
He didn't even, like, just out of curiosity, Google the guy he was trying to see
Nope.
to find out the news that way that he had passed away. Do you think that the club, if you go to up to a club and go, oh, I thought the performer tonight was somebody that's not somebody who's living, but turns out they're dead, I want my money back. But they like the shows. So that's a, you know, it's a moot point. They had a good time, and that's what. I think that's what happens to a lot of people with stand-up comedy, no matter how they get there. Once they're in the seats, if they give in to the experience and don't fight it, I think people are really, in fact, kind of blown away. Like, people come up to us after our shows all the time and are just like, oh, that was so much fun in person. It's like, yeah, stand-up on TV has really kind of made it all look very, you know, it's all this, there's a sameness to it, you know, but when you're there in person, just like wrestling or something else, you know that the person's up there really doing that, and they're really taking a chance on either, you know, breaking open their head or bombing, you know.
Right. Yeah. When it's good, man, there's nothing like live stand-up comedy. It's almost like transcendent in a way, where when you're watching somebody that's amazing and it's not on TV, you're there and it's, you're kind of breathing with the audience. There's something so cool about it. And I love when people come up, even on the New Year's Eve shows, there are people that are like, that was the best stand-up show I've ever been to. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, go see more shows.
Right.
I've done a bunch of shows where nobody got kicked out. Those were great too.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a really when people just go and it is kind of funny that New York, New Year's Eve does tend to be like kind of a poo-poo platter of entertainment options where people just like, well, I'll just try this, and they try. There's a lot of people just trying it on New Year's Eve, and I think they, usually discover they enjoy it. I mean, it sucks if you go to a comedy club cold and don't know the acts and are not into the headliner, because then once that person's on, they're going to be up there for a while. But that's what I've always enjoyed about most comedy shows, is even if you don't like the headliner, you probably add 30 or 40 minutes of other comics that you maybe did enjoy.
Right. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. That's the thing too. It's like maybe one of the act is totally your cup of tea, and you're still gonna leave going like, oh, that's cool. I got to discover a new person I like, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, what about also Taylor, of course, is the last name of the coach and his wife on Friday Night Lights. So I'm fond of the name for that reason.
All right.
Did
Never seen an episode.
you never seen an episode? Oh my God. It's speaking of soap operas, it's a show about high school football, but oh man, the soap opera elements of it are fantastic.
Yeah, it's one I've always meant to like. Oh, I should go back and binge that. So maybe I will.
Yeah, even when things are emotional, though, there's a mellowness to it. Like it's kind of a ASMR kind of thing. Like if you're looking for a show that's, even though it's about football and winning and losing, it's not too tense.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to.
I met that guy once. He was really nice.
Which
That
one?
actor. Coach Taylor.
Oh yeah, Kyle
So
Richards.
nice. Yeah.
He's a good actor. He leans on having Southern accent too often now, but
Yeah.
okay, one more thing about your name, Johnny Sidney Taylor Jr., and that is the junior part. You go build you use it as your professional name in stand up. Was that something you had to decide?
Yeah, I started just as Johnny Taylor, and as I started to like release things, like I had, a couple albums out on Stand Up Records, and I had the special, and I wanted to differentiate myself from the soul singer, because they actually, when my Spotify page had some of his stuff on it. So you'd go to Johnny Taylor,
Oh,
and it would be like, that the first album shows up is like, who's half loving these women? And I'm like, that's not me. So I did it to kind of differentiate itself. And then, and so like most places that you see me officially, like IMDb and like Wikipedia and stuff, it's all Johnny Taylor Jr. So I think I've finally, after like 8 years of really going by Johnny Taylor Jr., I think I've pretty much differentiated it from the rest of the Johnny Taylors, where there are several.
that was
That's
a
a smart
terrific
move.
answer. Yeah, that is you really brought that to a nice close. But I have to ask you the most important question we ask on this show, and that is to tell us about the Dougs that you've known. Have you been close to or affected in any way by anyone named Doug?
I sure have. My uncle Doug. So my uncle's name is Doug was, I have to, now that it gets tricky. His name was Doug Kennel. And his whole life he was tormented growing up because people would call him Dog Kennel And so, as an adult, he changed his name to Gene Berkman. So
What?
now his name is
Wow.
Gene Berkman, and I guess it was named after like an author he liked was named Gene Berkman. So I don't know, but yeah, my Uncle Doug growing up was one of my favorite people. So
Oh
as
man,
a
I'm
child,
that.
one of my favorite people was my Uncle Doug Kennel. So.
Oh, it's such a bummer. He had to change his name. That's awful.
I know. I'm
I
just
mean,
like, if you're changing your name in your 30s because you were made fun of as a kid for having the name Dog Kennel, like, dude, just forgive them. Keep your name.
go to
Yeah,
therapy.
that's a rough one. You know, there's a comedian named Mike Reynolds who used to do a whole bit about, you know, somebody at the beach yelling bike rentals and confusing it with him or whatever. And but he was really always like, it did seem like he was genuinely sad about it. But I this is dog kennel is really, that one's really something. 'Cause also it is just two words. It's not like, you know, it's not like people were calling him dog shit or something. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
what's so bad about being a dog kennel? You know, like they need somewhere to stay,
Yeah,
and be protected from the
it's actually, it should have been
elements.
honored.
Yeah, he should have been like, yeah, damn right, I'm a dog kennel.
Yeah. I have a
Bring it on.
philanthropic nature.
It's better
You
than
could, you
Cindy
know.
Lazy Eye.
Yeah, seriously.
Just joking.
Fucking.
I gotta write like a gangster thing or a boxing thing or something to, you know, to incorporate Lazy Eye Sydney, because
Hell
that
yeah.
is a great name for a fun character. Like, you know a lot about him right away. We've learned a lot about you today, Johnny Taylor Jr. Would you like to promote any things in particular, places people could see you, maybe with Brian Posehn?
Sure. Yeah. So on social media, I'm at Hipsterocracy pretty much everywhere. And I have a great podcast called The Awesome Pod. It's an AEW centric podcast. Awesome is spelled AEW some. Check it out. My co-host is Darcy the Mail Girl from Last Driving with Joe Bob Briggs, and Mistress Harley and Brendan Patrizzo, who has directed the classic Asylum film, Megalodon the Frenzy. If you ever want to watch a very, very, very over the top, some would say mildly awful shark attack movie. Also, you can see me. I will be in West Jordan, Utah at Wise Guys with Brian Posehn, January 12th and 13th. And then I'll be headlining the Velveeta Room February 2nd and 3rd. That's in Austin, Texas. And more dates on the website, johnnytaylorjr.com. So.
That's great. Yeah, once again, hipsterocracy on the social media. Doug Mellard, what do you got to plug besides the disappearance of Toby Blackwood, currently available on, which ones is it on?
Amazon Prime Video and Peacock. Thanks, dude.
Yeah. Seriously, though, everybody, if you listen to this podcast and you haven't watched it yet, I don't know what, you have no excuse.
just find one of my many albums with the words Fart Safari in it, or find me and find me on social at Doug Mellard. How about you?
Maybe that's why I picture you in a suit, because you know you'd wear, of course you'd dress up for shows where you're talking about fart safaris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'd
That's
even wear
probably it.
a nice pith helmet.
Yeah, that's probably. I have a lot of promo pics of me in a suit. Yeah, for no reason. And me shitting on a toilet in a suit.
Oh
Very
yeah, that's a
classy.
suit too. That's right. All right. Well, I've got a lot, tons of stuff coming up. You know, mostly California, the LA area, and all of my dates and info are at DougLovesMovies.com. Thank you once again to Johnny Taylor Jr. And Johnny, we end every episode by me saying, as always, followed by the title of the episode, which is often a pun that involves the name Doug. So you really set us up nicely today. So thanks again for joining us. And as always, Doug Kennel.